Growing to 150,000 subscribers in any niche, especially the religious one, is quite a feat. It is extremely difficult. I'm almost at 100,000 subscribers, so I can tell you it is incredibly hard. I've made over 800 videos, each one like 2 to 3 hours each. It is incredibly difficult. The following YouTuber got to 150,000 subscribers, and his channel was so powerful and dangerous, spiritually speaking, that YouTube deleted it for reasons that he still doesn't quite understand. I wanted to interview him to let him tell the story. His channel even worked with those that were trying to promote the causes of saints. They would reach out to him so that he could promote these lesser known venerables and blesseds. You have to hear the story of Jerome Chong, and please subscribe to his channel. It is content worth watching. Let's get right into it. Jerome, it is a blessing to have you here. I want to get right into some of the interesting details, maybe because of people that know you. What was the largest that your channel got to? How long did it take to get there? And then what happened?
Yeah, so for my, actually from the previous channel that actually, as some of you on YouTube have already known, it was Journeying with Saints. So I had first started out with that channel. When I started to get I started attracting people towards the channel, I had about, I think, 5 subscribers. Started out with 5 subscribers. And then just recently, when my whole channel was terminated by YouTube, I had about just over 150,000 subscribers.
How long did it take to get to 150,000 subscribers?
Well, I first started my channel back in 2017. It didn't just start off with making videos about the lives of the saints. It took me quite a bit of time to try and figure out what sort of content, you know, I should be putting out. I felt the need to start a YouTube channel back in 2017, but I started out as making comedy sketches and so on, just to give it a bit of a go to see what type of content would attract people. But then after I started out putting videos of the saints, I started out making compilation videos on the in-crop saints. Then that started bringing in quite a bit of number of subscribers, and it just started from there. So from 2017 until I think 2020 was when I had made my big break on YouTube, you know, started pulling in more subscribers. And yeah, the journey just began from there. Took quite I think about 3 to 4 years.
That must have been just an amazing thing. There must have been, I think, so much pride maybe in your family and in your church community to think, oh my gosh, it's like we have a YouTube star right here in our own community. What did they think? What did your wife think?
Well, back then we weren't married yet. For my wife, she was a big support, one of my very first subscribers. So she's been with me, you know, following the journey. But people here in Fiji don't, I like to keep things on the down low. I don't like to you know, put myself out in the open. Those of you who watch my videos know that I just pretty much prefer to just narrate my videos. I don't really like showing my face. I'm a bit of a camera shy person. But here in Fiji, not too many know. I mean, I've seen that there's quite a handful of people here in my country who watch my videos, but not too many of them know that I'm actually that one person who sits down at church during mass. So yeah, I like to keep things on the down low. So. Yeah.
And then what happened? What do you even know exactly why YouTube deleted the channel? Were you able to have conversations with them?
Actually, one thing about YouTube is that, you know, since they're dealing with so many videos, you know, every day, millions of videos. So normally if there's a problem, they don't go into fine detail what's wrong. So they would just lay out a list of, you know, possibilities that, you know, may have contributed to the channel being terminated. So a couple of those sort of the plan that they laid out was that it was probably my channel promoted spam or scam content or stuff like that, which obviously, you know, it doesn't promote any of those. So I had my channel demonetized 3 times. So the first time when I was demonetized, I had reapplied again and I was approved. And the second time came along, I reapplied again, I was approved. Then the third time, just before my channel got terminated, I reapplied again, I got approved again. Then just, I think about 3 days later, that's when I received the email that my channel was terminated. So I tried reaching out to YouTube. I explained to them that my channel doesn't promote, you know, scamming or trying to spam anyone in any sort of way. But I came back with the final decision that, you know, my channel is terminated for good. So, yeah, it's just pretty much that. Still quite confusing, you know, till this day.
Do they even allow you to download your content or download the channel or something like that so then you could repost things?
Actually, once everything is terminated, videos, everything is gone. You know, there's no way of getting things back.
So right now my channel is at like almost 98,000 subscribers and it's taken 5 years to get there. I cannot imagine how that felt for you, because in some sense, that's why I was so interested to interview you, because sometimes people don't understand how much work, blood, sweat, and tears, and praying, and trying to ask God, what do you want me to talk about? And then the joy that you feel in seeing it grow and getting to know the subscribers. What was that like in those days after it happened? How did that feel?
Actually, it was quite a tough pill to swallow, because one thing with YouTube now is that they've made things much more easier, in which you can reach you know, further audiences. Back then, when I first started out, we didn't have these YouTube Shorts, you know, as we do now. Because actually, with YouTube Shorts, it's a quicker and easier way of reaching out to a larger audience. Back then, when I first started out, we didn't have YouTube Shorts, so you know, there was a lot of hard work, sleepless nights, and even money too involved to, you know, try to grow the channel and help reach a larger audience. So, you know, having the whole channel terminated, it was really the discouraging. You know, I actually didn't want to start a second YouTube channel. You know, it was really discouraging for me that it was on my mind to just quit, you know, YouTube once and for all. But then a handful of us subscribed to me and told me just to keep trying, you know, start another YouTube channel and just continue making videos no matter what it takes. So, yeah, that's part of the reason that got me back up and got me to start a second channel. But, yeah, even till now, it's still, you know, it still really took a heavy toll on me and still bothers me. But, you know, just I guess this is another one of those crosses that, you know, I just have to carry. So, yeah, it still bothers me till this day.
For anyone that's listening, to hear it from my perspective, Jerome must be feeling so much pain, because if that were to happen to me, I would probably cry for weeks. Because it's something that, for instance, my wife enjoys in seeing that. And like anything else, like if you are building anything, you know, we're called to grow. We're not called to just stay at one or two. We're called to grow. And that growth, it means something. You know, it's something really important. I'm sure, you know, I don't know if you were able to speak with people talking about, you know, the spiritual side of all this, the spiritual growth that this has been, maybe your own relationship with God. I'm sure, I mean, I could imagine I might be angry at God or feel those feelings. How, maybe talk about kind of some of the spiritual struggles or growth that have happened with this, or maybe some saints that have given you strength to continue.
Yeah, actually, as a certain, I'm not sure which saint it was. I think it was Saint Padre Pio. He said that in order to find peace, whatever bad happens to you, try to see it as coming from the loving hands of God. Only then will you have peace. So that's actually something that, you know, I try to remind myself on, you know, maybe this is part of God's way of strengthening you spiritually. Because for me, I'm one person who, with my channel in sharing the lives of the saints, I like to encourage those who are struggling, you know, whatever challenges you're facing in life, to carry your cross with a lot of faith. And I guess, you know, having lost that channel was my own personal, you know, test of faith. So, yeah, that's pretty much that one quote from, I think, St. Padre Pio is one thing that really keeps me going. I like to see this as something as not being negative, but as coming from God, as part of God's plan in strengthening me spiritually. And maybe if it's His will that I continue with my second YouTube channel, that through the second YouTube channel, with my content that I post, I will be able to touch and maybe inspire people more. So, yeah.
What else do you do in your life, if you don't mind me asking? What is some of the work that you do aside from the YouTube channel? I don't know if the YouTube channel became like a sort of full-time job. What's some of the other work that you and your wife do?
Actually, for me, with the YouTube channel, that's actually my full-time job. I actually work with a few postulators, especially Italian postulators, who are trying to bring recognition to a certain individual who they're trying to push for sainthood. So since that person is only known in Italy, I try to make him known with the sort of the Western world, you know, the English speaking countries. So I also work with postulators, a few foundations in bringing recognition to the certain individuals who they're actually pushing for sainthood. So yeah, some of the stories that I've covered on the so-called baby saints, I keep in good contact personally. And yeah, so my job is just to push the story out in the English speaking world, since they're only known within Italy. So we can say that, so I can pretty much say that the whole apostolate is pretty much a full-time thing for me.
So one thing maybe for people that are watching, for instance, with my channel, I'll talk about different books from Purgatory. And so then because of that, publishers will reach out and say, hey, do you want to interview this person or interview that or review this book? Because it's a good book and then it gets out there. To me, it's blowing my mind that the people reaching out to you are postulators for these saints. That is, so I'm thinking sort of from the devil's perspective, no wonder he wanted to take your channel down. That is incredible. How on earth did you get in contact with these people? That's amazing work, because you know, if you know things in the church, a lot of times they have all this knowledge, but they have no way of getting it out on the media. That's maybe not a gift that they have. How did you get a hold of some of these postulators?
Actually, pretty much just you know, searching online, coming across these so-called lesser known saints. So just pretty much putting out videos, and then I would get a message from a certain individual saying how he really liked my my mini documentary, and that he's actually the postulator for this particular person. And so yeah, they sort of gave me contacts to different postulators and say, maybe if you want to make a video about this certain individual, you can get in touch with that postulator. So yeah, just, you know, it's just a ripple. So yeah, it's just started from the videos, actually.
Yeah, that's incredible, because to me, that's such important and sacred work. It's one thing to promote a book. It's another thing to promote a person that gave their life to God. That's so much more important. That's incredible. Where did you get your, because definitely your videos have a documentary feel. I've always loved documentaries ever since I was a kid. Where did you get or learn those skills of the storytelling, the designing the thumbnails? Your thumbnails, I love their style, by the way. Where did you learn that? Is that something that you've always had? Did you grow up wanting to do something like this?
Actually, just pretty much self-taught, you know, learning along the way, watching a lot of YouTube videos, you know, taking note from some of my favorite content creators. So yeah, just learning along the way.
I keep wanting to emphasize to people, when you're making YouTube videos, you have to be a storyteller, you have to be a videographer, you have to be an audio person, you have to be a marketer. There's so many different skills. I don't know if people appreciate how much kind of different types of work goes into it. Who have been in telling some of these stories, even with the old channel, what were some of your favorite saints, maybe that you saw maybe impact the people because of the videos, or that impacted you personally?
Well, I would say that the two saints that actually got my attention, actually got me into reading more about the saints, was Saint Bernadette and Saint Rita. I started reading about Saint Bernadette because I was so fascinated with the story of incorruptibility, same as with Saint Rita. And so reading about all of these scientific facts and all really got me wanting to learn more about the other saints. And when I was at a down point in my life, that's when I actually began to read about Saint Rita. And I remember that evening reading about her life, being, I was filled with so much emotion that, you know, the need to want to read more about the saints just, you know, grew from there. And then, you know, I would always, every morning when I wake up, I would read a different saint from a different quote from a different saint each morning. And yeah, just the reading about the saints really opened my mind more to my faith and really brought me back in touch with my faith. And I wanted to share their lives as a way of letting other people know that it was the lives of the saints that brought me back to my faith. And maybe those of you who are out there struggling with might take inspiration too from the lives of the saints. So yeah, Saint Rita and Saint Bernadette were the two saints that really pulled my attention from the start.
That's amazing. I believe that it was just Saint Rita's feast day, May 22nd, correct?
Yeah.
So hopefully she had a very difficult life. I'm sure she's interceding for you now. Did you see, in making these videos, I'm sure people would learn about the saint and then begin having a devotion. Did you ever have any testimonies of people talking about healings or conversions because of the saint, or maybe even just conversions? Are there any that you can remember that were very memorable?
Actually, there's so many, but back then when I had started to share about the incorrupt saints, you know, all the scientific facts and stuff surrounding the incorruptibility, I had received messages, emails, and even comments from Protestants, atheists, and even Muslims, saying how just by watching the videos. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, because of my work, you know, not putting myself up in any way, but just through watching the videos, there was a Protestant dude who said that after having watched about the incorrupt saints, it brought him to understand that because he was pretty much someone who used to spoil the Catholic faith. So it brought him to understand and respect the Catholic faith more. There was this atheistic woman who said, after having watched the videos on the incorrupt saints, it actually sort of changed the mind a bit that there could be a living God. And even the same thing with the Muslims. So those are some of the testimonies. And also there was a story that I did on Manuel Fodera. It's a young 10-year-old boy who had a great devotion to the Eucharist. So many people commenting on that video saying how his story actually brought them to have a more closer union with Jesus in the Eucharist. So, yeah.
That's really powerful. I mean, I would say if you were affecting Protestants, Muslims, and atheists, spiritually speaking, you could almost say that your channel was dangerous because it was converting people. It was affecting change. So that's how the saints are. You know, the saints go in there and sort of stir up trouble. They want to change the world. And whenever, you know, I think people don't really realize that even when you go to change the world a little bit, people don't like that. They get angry at you, even if you're telling people to be nice or to be patient. But the saints are inviting people to believe in Jesus, and just how much that stirs up people that hate you. Talk a little bit about that during when the channel was kind of at its height, and as it was growing, what were some of the spiritual attacks that you experienced?
Some of those spiritual attacks that I experienced would be sometimes when I would receive a negative comment, or actually one of the things that I used to share was some of the quotes from the saints where they actually spoke out against the religion of Islam. And, you know, I would sometimes receive threats, or sometimes from my fellow Catholic brothers and sisters, they would also tell me, you know, you shouldn't talk about Islam that way, even though I was just pretty much quoting from what the saint said. So, you know, these types of comments kind of affected me a bit in a way that, it made me take a step back, like, you know, okay, I maybe I was a bit too harsh, and you know, it kind of made me take a step back against let's just say, important criticisms. So, yeah, those are some of the spiritual attacks that I received. You know, it kind of brought about a low self-esteem that, you know, the work that I'm doing is actually not bringing out any good, but causing only confusion and people to turn against one another. So, yeah.
That's sometimes it could be difficult for people to understand what that's like, but I'll experience that as well. Whenever you make a video, you put love into it. So you're making yourself vulnerable in doing that. And you usually naively expect everyone to love it and to see the beauty in it, especially, for instance, when you're quoting a saint. So then when you see these people's reaction, it could really confuse you, throw you off. Even if what you're saying is completely true and 100% Catholic, you start doubting, should I have said it differently? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, and the devil can get in your mind. And even if you get 100 positive comments, that one negative criticism can really, the devil can use that to kind of work in your mind. So it's important for people to know that when they, especially if you, you know, you're visiting a Catholic YouTuber in their channel, to pray for them to have protection. What are some of your maybe goals and aspirations? What are your dreams now for the channel? Are you able to kind of have some? I know that, you know, sometimes because of what happened, it could be very difficult. There could be a lot of discouragement. But what are your hopes and dreams? What were they then? What are some of them now?
Actually, my part of my goal is that it has always been my goal is to, you know, through my work, hopefully one day it will get me to actually visit Italy and other Marian shrines around the world where I could actually, you know, come into close contact with a saint, let's just say an incorrupt saint, because, you know, that in the incorrupt saints were the first, let's just say, starting point for me. So part of my goal is hopefully one day I could actually get to visit Italy and actually document there in person about the lives of the saints. So that has always been my goal. And hopefully with his second channel, you know, it could get me there. But, you know, just leave everything in God's hands and, yeah, just see where he takes me.
That would be amazing to actually make a documentary being there on the ground. You know, in Italy, there's so many saints. That would be maybe someone hearing that owns a jet, you know, and they could fly you to Italy. That would be amazing for you to be able to do that work.
Yeah, I was actually invited once to visit Rhode Island. There's a famous mystic there, Marie Rose Farron. She's a famous mystic in Rhode Island. So I was actually invited by the foundation to travel over to Rhode Island and actually help put together a documentary. But, you know, a couple of things came up with the whole termination of the channel. So that's sort of, you know, put me at a step back. So, yeah.
Talk about Catholic life in Fiji. How many islands is Fiji?
Actually, Fiji is made up of two big islands. There's one that's called Viti Levu, and there's one that's called Vanua Levu. So in Viti Levu, that's the one that I'm in. That's where the capital is. So, yeah, it's the majority religion here is Methodists. Then I think second comes in, I think, Hinduism, and then probably Catholics. So, yeah, Fiji is made up of two islands, which Methodist being the main religion here.
Are there any saints from Fiji or patrons of that area?
Well, actually, here in Fiji, we don't have any saints yet. But we once had a visit by Father Stefano Gobbi. He's actually a servant of God now, a mystic. He once visited Fiji. But here in the Pacific, we actually have St. Peter Chanel. He died on the islands of Wallace and Futuna. So a bit about St. Peter Chanel. It was actually my great-great-great-grandfather who was the chief that actually called for him to be murdered on the islands of Futuna. So he's pretty much the patron saint of Oceania.
Wow. So you're sort of directly related to those that were, that you know, that they had a connection to St. Peter Chanel.
Yeah,
That's amazing. Very few people, I think, can say that, that they somehow are connected into the life of a saint. How can people best support you or pray for your channel? What are maybe some of the ways that maybe people aren't aware of that would be a wonderful way to help your channel grow, to support it?
I would guess, I'd say pretty much remember me in your prayers. You know, we can work wonders with prayers. So, yeah, I don't want to ask for, you know, I don't accept or ask for any sort of donations and so on. So all I ask is for prayers. And, yeah, just like and subscribe and share my videos.
Yeah, wonderful. And then if you had to pick top three saints, and it may be the ones that you mentioned, St. Rita and St. Bernadette, but who are your top three saints that you regularly put them to work, ask for their intercession?
Well, one would obviously have to be St. Anna Schaeffer, a German mystic and victim soul. I also love Blessed Alexandrina da Costa and what she did for the conversion of sinners, especially in Portugal. And the third would have to be St. Jose Maria Escrivá. For many of you who actually have listened to his speeches and know about him, so inspirational, you know, the way he's able to move people's lives just with, you know, a few simple words. So, yeah, those are the three saints that pretty much I really look up to.
Wow, that's wonderful. Jerome, it's been really, really, really amazing to have a chance to interview you. We're trying to keep this within 30 minutes because there's a storm there in Fiji. I would love to be of some assistance, and hopefully people watch this video, that your channel grow, that, or whatever is the will of God for your channel. If it is that he wants it to be small but very impactful, or incredibly large, whatever he wants, but that it, ideally, at least from a human perspective, that it could grow to far larger to where it was, maybe twice as much or more, especially so that people can get to know these saints. You know, in my own life, I feel like you read the Gospels, but then the saints bring it to life in a way that you can think, okay, that makes sense. That's how I should live it. And it feels real. They don't feel so far away because of time. You know, they maybe lived only a few hundred years ago. And their powerful intercession, you know, I know of people that work with people that are struggling with oppression and demonic things, and the saints are powerful in helping us fight that battle of evil. So the more that we know, the more that we could be helped.
Exactly. Most people actually think that with the saints, they're trying to just pull the attention to themselves, but every act, every word spoken was not meant to glorify themselves, but glorify God. The lives of the saints is a reflection of the greatness of God. But not only that, but also the lives of the saints is a great reminder for every single one of us, especially at a time when, you know, we fall each and every time in sin. Take, for example, the life of Saint Augustine. It's a great reminder that, you know, the greater the sinner, you know, the greater his right to God's mercy. And every saint first started out as a sinner. So the lives of the saints are a great reminder for each and every one of us that, you know, no matter how many times you fall, what matters is that you get up and that God's mercy is always greater than your sins.
Amen. Well, let's close with a prayer, if you wouldn't mind leading us.
Sure. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. All you heavenly angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, thank you for taking your time to join us today. Please check out Jerome's channel. He has wonderful stories about many, many different saints, and some that are yet to be canonized. Support him with your prayers above all. And I'll see you in the next one.